What's the reason you come back to Arizona then?
It's called validation. I'm not racing, I'm validating and enjoying everybody else's victories and performances out there on the weekend and just having fun for a change racing as opposed to having it all serious, but which I would say 9 months of the year it is.
Coming up on this episode of the Endurance Hour podcast, episode 48, the exclusive Q&A session at the Pro Panel for Ironman Arizona 2013. The Endurance Hour podcast starts now. We gonna make this shit happen right here, right now. Calling up, don't ever be a crook. We gonna make this shit happen right here, right now. Calling up, don't ever be a crook. We gonna make this shit happen right here, right now. And a big welcome back to everyone to the Endurance Hour podcast. Been a long time since we've recorded a show. This is Dave Erickson. Roger Thompson is off this week. Last time we came to you, it was from the Big Island of Kona, Hawaii, and the Ironman World Championship. We had a series of Kona Week specials there featuring age groupers, professionals, the pro panel, pre and post race. And a lot has happened since then. To bring you up to speed, I'll try to make this brief. After the race was over in Kona, I went over to Maui with my fiance to get married on October 22nd. That was a big week pre and post wedding with people coming over there, the whole process of getting that organized, family coming in, family going out, trying to make it a vacation as well. The challenge was, in addition to the wedding and making sure that went off without a hitch, which it did, it was beautiful, is that I was preparing for Xterra World Championship there in Maui as well as an athlete. So not only was I covering Kona a couple weeks beforehand, got married, and then went over to Maui to race the Xterra World Championship, which again was a fantastic experience. I was there the previous year as a member of the media, and you can see all these reports that I filed on swimbikerunvideos.com, as well as the YouTube channel. The username is SBRVids. It's all right there. Lots of content, lots of video. It was a great time. So there was a three-week period there where I was on the island of Hawaii the whole time, which I know sounds wonderful. Who wouldn't want to be in Hawaii during October and parts of November? But after a while, honestly, it was getting a little bit boring. I wanted to get home. I wanted to get back to a routine. Everyone knows how nice and comforting it is to have a routine, and that was what I was looking forward to. It just so happened when I got back, Roger was finishing up school and finishing up some of the classes and preparing for a break of his own. He and his wife, Jessie, were about to celebrate 15 years of marriage together, and they went off to Maui just last week. So they were in Maui the entire time. So between me and Roger, we've spent a month in Hawaii, and now we're trying to get back to some sort of normalcy. We've had a lot of snow and difficult weather here in the inland northwest. It's been really wet and gross right now. Trying to get outside is almost impossible. It is melted off quite a bit, which is nice. But during that process, even now that I think about this, I was planning to go to New York for the marathon. And we all know what happened there with Hurricane Sandy and Superstorm Sandy and the devastation it left for thousands of people there and the lives that it took. And then the whole debacle of whether or not we should have the marathon in the first place and that debate going on. And so I had to make a decision at some point. And luckily I did it on Tuesday before the New York Marathon that I'm not going to go. There's too much chaos going right now. It doesn't seem appropriate. And even if I did get on the ground there in New York, who knows how I would get around. I was going there with my wife to do the event, but it just didn't seem like it was going to be a good idea. And come to find out, less than 48 hours before the marathon was supposed to go on, they canceled it. So I feel for all the people who had made the investment to go over there and all the organizing and pre-planning, not to mention the training that went involved, and then they didn't have the event. But it's understandable considering the circumstances of the weather. So there was, I guess if you're going to backtrack a little bit there, 4 weeks of just a lot going on, Kona, the wedding, Xterra, and then the New York Marathon planned trip, which didn't happen. And then I get back for just a few days to get organized. And then Roger heads off for a vacation with his wife and also some close friends from the Spokane area. And now here we are. Ironman Arizona is upon us here in Tempe, Arizona, which is a gorgeous place. So this is my third time covering the event. I went back in 2010 while I was working actually as a television news anchor in Spokane. I went there just for the weekend. And I went down there and I had a chance to interview Sister Madonna that year, which she didn't finish that race. Of course, she has redeemed herself since. And then last year, I was a part of Ironman Live, the webcast, working with Greg Welch. This year, they're not having that. It's strictly webcams at certain locations throughout the race, with text updates and photos as well during the blogging section, which can be great if you're doing you're watching certain athletes out there and trying to keep up to date. Kevin McKinnon, the editor with Ironman.com, does an amazing job. Unsung hero there. There's so much work that you guys don't see behind the scenes. Coordinating deadlines, pre-writing some stories, having spotters out on the course to have correct updates, to give you the latest information on how the pros are doing. It's just so much involved, and it's hard to get it into a concise, easy to understand way, and Kevin does a great job on that. So Kevin will be down there, or actually Kevin is down here with me in Tempe for the race again. I am going to be doing some race coverage during the day, which will be on Ironman's website under their on video on demand section. You'll be able to see my things there. I'll be posting things like the swim start, as well as the top three or five finishers for both the men and women. There'll be a pro recap package with all the pros, because that's what I really focus on. That's my assignment. And then there will also be some post-race comments from the winners or whoever is on the panel after the race. So that's my job description as the on assignment reporter here in Tempe this week for the 2013 Ironman Arizona. For those of you who have just sat through that big long explanation and recap, if you want to learn more about the program, you can simply go to our Facebook page or Twitter account. It's really easy. It's Endurance Hour is the keyword. Go to our website, swimbikerunvideos.com. Click on Endurance Hour podcast to catch up on previous episodes. This is episode 48. Roger and I will be getting back together as the year comes to an end. In fact, our first episode was January 9th, I believe. It's been an amazing journey for both of us to get to this point, having so much content, so many great athletes to talk to, the interviews, going to certain venues to talk to those athletes and present that to you. It's been a labor of love, and we thank you so much for your support on iTunes as well as Stitcher Smart Radio, subscribing to us and leaving your comments. Thank you very much. If you would like to send us an email, you can do that at endurancehour@gmail.com. We also have a voicemail. It's 720-295-9890. A lot of our communication really does go back through Facebook, though. So facebook.com/endurancehour. That's where we post the latest podcasts, which are linked there as well as on Twitter, and interaction between us. So we also have contests every once in a while to give away some things. And if you are a sponsor listening right now and you like to be involved and partner with us, we'd love to give away some free product too. So send us an email, endurancehour@gmail.com, and we'll get things going. Until then, let's listen to the pro press conference here at Ironman Arizona 2013, unedited in its entirety.
Mike Riley, everybody, and I'm going to be emceeing this and introduce our professionals. These are our top professionals entered in the race on Sunday out there with you all day long. We've got a great race. As a matter of fact, the weather's supposed to be just like this, so fantastic, with very, very light winds. So I know you're all going to like that. So let's get right into it and start introducing our top professionals here. These are some of the best in the world. There's no doubt about that. Right here on your right and their left, that's Meredith Kessler out of San Francisco. Meredith, after finishing fourth place in her very first Ironman Florida, she returned to Ironman Arizona, where she competed in her first race as a professional back in 2009. She's since competed in Arizona two additional times as a pro, and last year she was third place. So welcome, Meredith Kessler. Right next to Meredith, Lindsay Corbin out of Missoula, Montana. Lindsay's quite a handful of impressive Ironman finishes in her career. Matter of fact, she's placed top five at four Ironman 70.3 events, as well as fifth place at the 2008 Ironman World Championships in Kona. She was second place here last year. She had a strong showing at the 2012 Ironman World Championships with an eighth place. She's no stranger at Ironman Arizona. She's had four top five finishes right here. Let's welcome Lindsay Corbin. We're honored to have here with us 34-year-old out of Great Britain, Leanne DeCave. Not much of an introduction needs to be done. Seems like last year. Incredible year for her. She is the reigning Ironman World Championship. Champion right there, Leanne DeCave, everybody. Plus the 70.3 Ironman World Champion, reigning champion. So we've got her right here. She is our defending champion here at Ironman Arizona, and welcome back. Paul Amy. How you doing, Paul? I don't know. Everything good?
I know.
So, this guy's been involved with sports since an early age. As a matter of fact, he gave away two full-time running scholarships at American universities to pursue triathlon, and has paid off very well for him. In 2005, after recovering from a broken pelvis, he achieved the first of his three world duathlon titles, and in 2008, he's been competing in Ironman over the last two or three seasons. As a matter of fact, he's got six top five finishes at Ironmans and Ironman 70.3s. He'll be in the mix on Sunday. Paul Amy, everybody. DJ Tollefson, still Des Moines, Iowa, correct? Yeah, I love it. 32 years old. His career started with a second place finish right here in 2008 at Ironman Arizona, followed up with a second place in 09, and in 09 also in Coeur d'Alene. He won his very first Ironman at Lake Placid 3 years ago.
Last year.
What am I talking about? Last year. And he's on the scene. He loves doing the Arizona race, and he's back. TJ, welcome. Matthias Hack, 32 years old, out of Switzerland. In his first Ironman, as a matter of fact, he earned a second place finish in Switzerland, competing in front of his home country. Again, he finished second in 2007 Ironman Switzerland, and a year later he placed third at Australia and Lake Placid, and he has finished as high as eighth at Ironman Hawaii. He was this year's one of the toughest Ironmans there was on the circuit, Ironman St. George, the champion at St. George, and that didn't take anything out of you, did it? Matthias Hack, everybody, from Switzerland. So I'll start with asking a question just right down as I introduced them, and then you guys can have your questions ready. So Meredith, you just did Ironman Florida a few weeks back, and I wasn't there, but I saw the film of you kind of just going down at the finish line. A lot of athletes, age groupers, come up and go, God, how do the pros are able to race and recover so quickly? So have you recovered after Florida to be here and tackle this one?
Hope so. You weren't there, so you're my lucky charm, is what happened there. No, I think with recovery, it's really important for all of us and all of you. I do a lot of recovery boot and a lot of Arctic Ease, which is a cold sort of compression, think ACE bandage, and a lot of coconut water, a lot of chocolate milk goes into my system a lot. I mean, 2 weeks is not a long time to try to recover, to parlay that race into another Ironman, but hopefully I'm warmed up and I'm hydrated enough and I'm ready to go.
Warmed up, I like that. Okay. And Lindsay, you're another one that races quite a bit. When you do your things, whatever you need to do to recover in between events, how much training do you really end up doing? I mean, is it just kind of a maintenance thing? Okay, I've been in shape for that race and I'm doing an Ironman 4 weeks later.
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on the time of year. If it's early in the year, I definitely am a little bit more focused with my training. But I just recently raced the Ironman World Championships in Hawaii. And so I'm coming off that. And a lot of people ask what the success is. You know, I've done really well at Ironman Arizona the last few years. And coming off Hawaii, it's just a lot of listening to my own body. I have slept through a few swim workouts when I was tired. And I've also added on to a few bike workouts when I was feeling good. So just keep the body moving and try not to read into how much you're feeling too much, you know, because I never really feel that great between Hawaii and this race, but then on race day, my body, you know, it's built to race, it knows how to race, and it always sort of seems to respond well on race day, so I'm thankful for that.
You're going to wear the cowboy hat coming in?
Oh, yeah, there's okay. Going to be a cowboy hat at the finish for sure.
Okay, great. Well, Leanda, we are honored to have you here with us and to see and be able to be there and witness that performance in in Kona was really special, and it was, so many people I've talked to about it, very inspiring. You had a tremendous day. That high of Kona and being the world champion, has it lasted? Are you like, okay, I'm racing again, I gotta forget about that, or have you enjoyed it?
I really like to celebrate, so I've probably been putting that high on the priority list and training quite low on the priority list lately.
Well, that's well deserved. So do you feel you're fit obviously all year long for this race, and what's the reason you come back to Arizona then?
It's called validation. I'm not racing, I'm validating and enjoying everybody else's victories and performances out there on the weekend, and just having fun for a change racing, as opposed to having it all serious, but which I would say 9 months of the year it is for me. So
yeah, well, you know what that means.
I know.
That's strategy right there. That was good. Okay, we can't wait to see Sunday. All right. Okay, Paul, how you doing?
Not too bad.
Good. Welcome to Arizona. You're on there. So, what's the reason you pick Arizona too to do this race? You've done it. You like it?
Yeah, I've done a few races here in Arizona, and I mean the weather's always good, even though it's supposed to be the start of winter. It's a good course here. It's great with Tempe Lake and also the park. So there's always a good atmosphere in Arizona and a good crowd for this race. So I thought I'd come back, just get some points for Kona for next year. So really, that's basically it.
Now, will you go into an off season right after this, or go overseas? What's your plan after this race?
Pretty much. I actually stopped training about 6 weeks ago, so I'm already in
sandbaggers
in the off season. Actually going over to France, start a little bit of training, and then I'm looking at the Abu Dhabi race in March next year. So I'll be in Europe for most of the winter down, and then maybe do a couple of camps either in the Canary Islands or Mallorca or something like that.
Love it. But TJ, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike.
So your plan all year long, has it really worked out the way you wanted it to work out this year?
Not exactly. The plan this year was to race Ironman New York City and get enough points to qualify for Kona, and fell just a little bit short. I think Axel Zeebruck was right in front of me in points. He was the last man in. I was about 40 points short. So I had a little change of the schedule, and that was fine. You know, I told myself I didn't really want to chase points. I wanted to have two really quality Ironman races for the year. And I raced New York, and if I wasn't going to race Kona, I knew this would be the race on my schedule.
So you made that decision almost immediately after New York?
Yeah.
To be here?
Yeah, right away. I'm fortunate to have a training base also in Tucson, Arizona, so I'm just 100 miles down the road. And so mid-September, I went down to Interbike and left Interbike, and have been in Tucson ever since. And we've got a great little triathlon community in Tucson, obviously now highlighted by the queen of Ironman all over, Leanda. But we have a nice little place to train there in Tucson, and it's great to spend some time down there, focus training. Nice, easy 100-mile drive this morning, and gonna race this weekend.
Like a hometown.
Right.
That's good. Thank you. Good luck on Sunday. Matthias Heck, Switzerland, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. You always look fit. I mean, you always, no matter what time of year, you're one of those year-round guys, 12 months a year, you're always putting it together. Do you really ever take any time off?
Yeah, I take some time off. 3 weeks of the year. And yeah. So that's about it.
So you ready?
Well, to be honest, I'm not 100% ready. I had a few issues with my hamstrings, which started during Ironman New York, where I had to pull out. Since then, I still raced. I did Lateman in Bend, Oregon, and a few other races. So it's coming back together. Still not 100%, but I hope I will be ready to have a good race and get some points and hopefully a good result with it.
Is it the hamstring bothering you more, obviously, on the run than the bike, or?
It's actually both a bit, so we'll see
what happens. This is interesting. A lot of strategy. I love it. All right, so we're going to open it up. Anybody want to ask any questions? I know we got a couple media here. Dev, you want to start with one?
Thanks, Mike. Leanda, what has it been like since Kona with, I'm guessing, a lot of media responsibilities, etc.? Has it been tough to get training and keep everything going?
Well, I would say I'm not training a whole lot. I'm just getting done what I can in between. But I raced a few weeks ago, and after Hawaii, I needed a week off. After that, I needed a week off. I've been traveling quite a bit, enjoying some of the fun times in life, and getting quite familiar with seeing times on my watch past midnight. Quite a few empty bottles in the recycling bin. But in saying that, you know, this happens every year. It's very consistent with me. I've raced here. This will be my fifth or sixth time here, racing Arizona Ironman. I love this race. I always do have a little bit of a celebration after Hawaii, whether I race good or bad. And all the extra commitments I have now on my plate, I go to the territory. I have to take those on as any athlete would who has won a major event, and I'm honored to actually have or be in that position to take those extra commitments on. So I'm getting every interview done sooner or later. A few of the interviews have been a bit delayed, and I apologize for that. Anyone out there expecting a reply any day soon might happen. but other than that, you know, I'm just enjoying being in this position I'm in at the moment, and it only happens maybe once in a lifetime, so I'll embrace it.
Great. Questions? Got a song there.
The question for TJ, and kind of what drives you with the whole bike design, and where your motivation and inspiration for that comes from?
Yeah, thanks. So, this year I launched a new bike that I designed, and the inspiration really came. I left another bike company a couple years ago, and my wife Ashley actually asked me if you could ride any bike you wanted, what would you ride? Like, sponsorship aside, whatever. And I told her I wanted to ride a Zip 2001, and her response to that was, Zip makes a bike? And I said, well, they haven't for about 15 years, but they made a really cool, fast, aerodynamic bike. And so I called a bunch of guys at Zip, and we found a pristine frame for me to race on for a year. And during that time, we went to work, and I had a couple Zip engineers and a Zip marketing guy help me with the design of the bike that I race. And through that, I've just kind of continued to push the envelope, but it's, the Zip design was proven fast design. It just kind of needed to be updated since it was designed about 15 years ago. And, I had the right team of engineers and designers working with me to kind of make it a reality. And, I'm having fun with it. It's a cool bike. It's all nanotube carbon fiber, and make it here in the U.S. And it's a fun little hobby to do outside of racing triathlon.
So if something happens, it's your fault to the bike.
That's right.
Okay. She's checking on that. Anybody else? Questions? You're Kevin, man.
I guess in part a follow-up for all three of the gentlemen. You guys are kind of renowned as being really great hill riders. And, obviously St. George and Lake Placid, and Paul, I see you in France all the time. Have you noticed this course doesn't have a whole pile of hills? And why do you like that?
Yeah, well, you give me a course at this time of the year who has hills in it. I think that's the problem. I would choose any course out there that has hill at this time of the year. I didn't find one.
Yeah, as much as I like hills, I also enjoy a flat, fast, aerodynamic course. Eagle Man was my first big win, and that course is pancake flat. I don't mind a good drag race, I prefer a tough bike course just because it really kind of separates the race quite a bit. So I'll always be up for a challenging hilly bike, but if it's time to drag race, it's time to drag race.
I mean, obviously this course is a little bit different to France, but you know, when Ironman France is on in June, so normally I'm in France training on the hills, whereas when I come back here, leading into Kona, it's training on the flat. So more so for me, it's sort of a change of course, but also a change of training in a way during our during the season. So, but I would prefer it to be a little bit hillier than what it is at the moment. But you know, so be it.
Maybe they'll pave that thing one of these days. The mountain here will go up that. Lindsay and Meredith, what do you think about this course? Is different because it's three loops on the bike and three loops on the run. How do you feel that? Does that play into your strategy of being able to see each other all day long? Or?
Yeah, I think for me that's one of the draws and the appeals to this course. I was saying earlier today that if I could define this race with one word, it would be community. And I think it's a real pleasure for us professional athletes to be sharing the course with age groupers as well as the other professionals. And a highlight for me is on the run course, just being able to run with the other amateur athletes. And usually I'm on my third loop and some of them are starting their first loop, so they're kind enough to offer to pace me. And I don't know, I enjoy being able to say good job and good luck to people. And it's just a highlight. I think there's a lot of energy with this course. My family is here, my mom and my dad and my husband, and I think I'll see them maybe 16 times or so on race day. And you know, when you're in a rough patch, it's just easy to look forward to getting to seeing your family next, and lots of cheers. And the other thing I really love about this course is the aid stations. So I think they're just as competitive as the athletes. So yeah, it's always a toss up as to who's going to be the most decorated aid station. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
I can see an age grouper staying with these guys on their first lap and it's their third, and you're blowing them up.
Yeah, someone wanted to have a conversation with me last year, and I apologized to whoever it was, but I was like, I can't talk right now. I'm in the well. Catch you at the finish.
Meredith, you feel the same about this course that way?
I do. You know, I've done this race every time it's been offered, I want to say, and when it was offered twice in 1 year, I did it.
This is the ninth race.
Yeah, so I continue to come back, and I think it's beautiful here, but it's the best course on the circuit, I think. The three loops on each run, the run and the bike, is just really, gives you a lot to do and a lot to think about. I love seeing some of the athletes I coach are racing, and my training partners in San Francisco are racing, and good friends of mine, and my husband's here, and our good friends. So just like Lindsay said, we counted, Lindsay and I both last year, you see 16 to 18 times on the run course, you see people. And our coach is here, and so it's just, like she said, a community and camaraderie is what I think of when I think of Tempe and the mayor who jumps on the stage at the award ceremony. I look forward to that every year.
Hugh Holman, right? Yeah. Crazy mayor. I love crazy mayors. One more question. Time for one more.
For those who aren't here last year, this is the podium for the women, first, second, and third. And since the Queen of Kona doesn't really want to win this year, and Lindsay has been so close in the last few years, I want to know, how badly do you want it, Lindsay?
I have an interesting track record here. I've been second the last 3 years, and every year I've gone 10 minutes faster than I did the year before. And my marathon times are a 304, a 303, and a 302. So I've got some goals for me, a little bit of pressure, but yeah, I think we all want it equally bad. I'm not buying Leanda's act. I think she's got a poker face on. And I think Meredith is hungry to add another Ironman title. She's been really close. Last year she nearly broke the 9-hour mark. So, you know, if anything, I'd like to see some fast times. I think we're set up for fast conditions, and I'd like to see all three of us going under 9 hours. So
there you go. That'd be great. The guys would like to go under 9 hours too. All right, that's our pros. Let's have a great round of applause for them. Best in the world right there. Love it. And media, if you've got any individual questions you want to ask them, feel free. But thank you very much, guys, and good luck on Sunday.
Well, that will wrap it up for this episode of the Endurance Hour podcast, number 48 on the year. Thank you again for listening to the program and supporting the show. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher Smart Radio, which I'm sure you're listening to now. Or if you have time, you want to sit in front of your computer, you can listen to us directly on the internet by going to swimbikerunvideos.com and find up as well past episodes there on the website. Until next time, this is Dave Erickson wishing you a great weekend of training or racing. We'll see you back here next time.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere. Sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Come, brother.